We've been talking about God's plan. We talked about how God's plan for you is to be like Jesus. He wants you to be like Him. He created you like Him, and He wants you to walk like Him. We also talked about how God's plan is for your good. How we can take bad stuff that happens, not necessarily that it's good, but He always uses stuff for good. He can take a broken person and all the bad things that have happened in your life, and He can put you all back together and use you in a powerful and wonderful and awesome way. He never throws away anything. God takes stuff. He does His best stuff from nothing. He puts it together and He makes something absolutely spectacular and wonderful. And you know, when we're the most broken, we're the most appreciative and thankful anyway, and we have the best spirits. So God loves broken things. He does some great stuff with them. He does good. His plan for your life is good. He uses all things for good. You know, thinking about that, as you know, we wrecked, our car got wrecked trying to get three little doggies, and we got the three little doggies home, but the car didn't come home. And it was my wife's car, and it got totaled. And so we've been looking for another car. And, you know, last week we talked about that she had a car, and I had a car picked out, and her car was $500 more than the car I picked out, and my car, huh? But 25,000 less miles, of course. But mine was the full package, and hers was just a partial trim. But mine was crimson, and hers was black. And then I said, honey, I want to please you. Let's go down and look at your car. It happened to be in Lewiston. So we went down to Lewiston to look at the car Sunday after church, because I thought, you know, you might want to do it when the conviction's strong. And so I went down right after Sunday church, and we went down there. And literally, I was going, okay, awesome. If she likes this, I want her to get it, because I just want her to enjoy it. And it's black, and she loves black. Our dog is black. Everything in our house is black. And deep down inside, I'm actually a black man. But I do. I feel that. When I get to heaven, it'll come out. But anyway. So we get down there and we ask the man, hey, we came down here to look at the car. And we thought, you know, I even took the stuff we needed in order to purchase it. And so we get down there and all of a sudden we say, where's the car? She can't find it. She can't find it. She can't find it. They sold it on Saturday. But the car that I had was still available. And it was in, oh, the only problem is it was in Enumclaw. Or as my wife says, Omnumclaw. Or I don't know, she has a hard time with that word for some reason. And so, but it was amazing because the Lord talked to her and she prayed and blah, blah, blah. And not blah, 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 because prayer is a, I just went out and met God and blah, blah, blah. No, I mean, she really had a neat time. And honestly, I joked about it last night, or last Sunday, but I really want her to, it's her car, I want her to be blessed. But I just saw this value. Remember, guys were value-oriented. It had everything on it, man. It was just crimson. And she goes, and you know why she didn't want it? Because, no, not because it was crimson. Yes, because it was crimson. Here's how my wife thinks. I'm thinking of value. This, it does that. It has all this stuff. It's a 2006, so it's nothing, you know, new or nothing. But it's, you know, had all the stuff in it. But she, as she was thinking about why she wanted or didn't want the car, it was because how it would look in our driveway. Because red didn't really match the rest of our scenery in our driveway. Because we have black asphalt, she wanted a black car. And so I go, honey, we can dye the asphalt. No, but you know, she just thinks differently, and that's okay. It's awesome because you know what? She has saved me out of so many jams in my life. I can't tell you how many because she thinks differently than I do, and has really saved us in a lot of things. Well, anyway, we went down. Long story short, we went, got the car, and against all odds, it was crazy. We went down and back in a short time, and so we have the car. It's in the parking lot or spot up there, and it is crimson. Oh, okay. Well, okay, red but crimson. I try to help her. But the interior's black! God knew all along that it was the right car. No, so we got it and it was great and wonderful. awesome. It has nothing to do with the message, but other than the idea that God can take bad and make it good out of it. So there he did. Oh, that's what she said. See, I said last Sunday, and I didn't really mean it like that. I said, you'll find out who's in charge of our home by what color car appears in the parking lot up there. And the problem is this, is honestly, my wife is so much more spiritual than I am. Because she took it to the Lord. The Lord told her a whole bunch of stuff. And she said, you know what, Phil? You're exactly right. I want people to know that you're in charge of our home. And I just went, you do? I felt so blessed. And she was, you know, every once in a while she lets me lead. And no, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. I really am. Her spirit was absolutely precious. She'd spent time with the Lord, and it was really beautiful, and it was neat. We got to do it together, and by the way, we bought the car at, we got it at the dealership at 11:30 that night. The guy came and showed up at 11:30 in order to help us get the car. We left there at 1 something for some reason. We always buy cars late at night. I'm sorry. Yeah, you get a better deal then. I do want to talk about today. We've talked about God's plan for you to be like Jesus. His plan for you is good. It's good. But how do we walk out God's plan? How do we make those day-to-day decisions? How do we walk out the day-to-day plan that God has for our lives? Galatians 5:16. I'm going to spend some time in this chapter and also in a little bit in Romans and talk about this subject. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. God's plan day to day for us is that we would walk in His Spirit, hear His voice, walk in that sensitivity, just as Carrie did in this whole thing. My gosh, she was absolutely beautiful and wonderful in all of this, as she believed God would guide and lead her and really felt it and put all these things out there, and God fulfilled them all. I mean, how wonderful in her walk with the Lord. It's absolutely precious. I long to have a walk like she does. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How do we walk out God's plan for our lives? By walking in His Spirit. By walking in His Spirit. Being Spirit-led allows us to hear His voice and move in those day-to-day decisions that we need to make, whether it be at our work, whether it be in our lives, in our family, what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to go. He wants us to be led by His Spirit. God's plan for your life is that you walk in the Spirit day by day. However, there's a problem, as we read in the Scripture. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, the enemy's plan for your destruction is that you would walk in your flesh. That you would listen to it. That it would lead you, it would guide you, it would make all of your decisions, that your flesh would be the guiding light of your life and cause you to make all the decisions that you will make. That's the enemy's plan, and if we follow it, it will really bring destruction to us. God has a plan for your life. The enemy has a plan for your destruction. But I want to talk about how we are. This flesh versus spirit. In Galatians and in Romans, they have this big battle between flesh and spirit tell us not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. I want to talk about how we're made up. We are made up of spirit, soul, and body. We have a spirit that can respond to the Spirit of God. We have a soul, our mind, our will, our intellect. It's kind of what makes you you. Your thinking process, your attitudes, your emotions, all of that, I would probably call like the soul. And then we have this thing called this body, this flesh. Spirit, soul, and body is how God made us up. And then He takes our spirit at salvation and He redeems it. He justifies it. The whole scriptural term is justification. When you ask Jesus Christ into your life, your spirit gets saved. We used to have an icky spirit walking the wrong directions, and all of a sudden, God comes into our life, and He takes the Spirit. Jesus Christ Himself comes and lives inside of us. The Spirit of God is dwelling in us. God Himself is in us, And this thing called the Holy Spirit, however we can understand all of that. But there's a spirit that all of a sudden becomes alive to His spirit. God is spirit. And God's made us spiritual beings. And we can connect in the spirit. We can hear in the spirit. But we also have this soul. And our mind, our will, our intellect, it's being saved, isn't it? It's not a done deal. Our spirit is a done deal. It's saved. But your body, your soul is kind of being saved. Your thinking, your emotions, your will, the decisions that you make, all of those things, God's in process, and the Bible calls that sanctification. He's working on us. It's not a done deal, but the spirit is. And then we have this flesh, this body, but the Bible says, at the end, at the last trump, at the twinkling of an eye, this mortal, this body will put on immortality. So it's going to be a thing down the line. We've got a done deal. My spirit's been justified. We've got a process. My soul is being sanctified, but it's not done yet. And then we'll have an event called glorification where my body, all of a sudden, this mortal will take on immortality. In the twinkling of an eye at the end. So my question is this. We have a spirit, done deal, connecting with God. We have a soul in process, a little messed up. We have a body that really isn't working quite right all the time, but it will be saved. Saved, being saved, will be saved, if you will. My question is this then. What should run your life right now? Our spirit that's been saved, our soul that's being worked on, or our body that, hey, you see what God's after is He's saying, walk in the Spirit because I've saved that, I've redeemed that. That's how I communicate with you. I've made you a spiritual being. These other aspects, which I will call our flesh, it's not done yet. It's not done yet. We got that in another life to come. And so why it's so important where He says, walk in the Spirit. Because He doesn't want us walking in flesh. Because flesh can't make the decisions all the way that say, yeah, that's good, that's not good. Our spirit can. Even David would say, break forth into joy, O my soul, and all that's within me. He was saying, his spirit was saying to his soul, you're going to worship God. And the soul was saying to the spirit, I don't feel like worshiping God right now. No, thank you. My flesh is tired. I feel weak. I didn't get enough sleep last night, so I'm not worshiping. And the spirit says, oh, yes, you are. And your flesh is saying, no, I'm not. Watch me. And the spirit goes, yeah, watch you. Boom, get your buns out of that chair. Get your hands in the air and worship. All right, man, you're a mean dude. You can tell people who are led by spirit versus led by flesh. Look at their lives. They don't allow the flesh to talk them out of or into anything that's wrong. The spirit is. That's why he says if you're in the spirit, if you walk in the spirit, then the flesh can't be satisfied. The wrongful desires, flesh, evil, wickedness, stuff that's not really right. You hear what I'm saying here? He wants us to walk in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the lusts of our flesh. Because all the time, our flesh demands and craves for stuff. I want that. I want that. I need that. I must have that. Let's go on. I want to talk about when God comes into your life, when that Spirit comes in, He gives you... Do you have your phone? Okay, stand up here. This is my son-in-law. He's a pretty nice guy. He cleans up good. All right? When we get saved, here's what happens. God deposits into our spirit, if you will, a thing called, it's like a GPS. Can you put a GPS on that deal?
Yep.
All right, click it. Hurry up. Faster. Okay, good, good, good. It's done. All right, okay. Yes, Pastor. God, when we got saved, placed something in us. It's like a GPS. And what does a GPS do?
Helps you navigate.
Helps you navigate. It helps you get from here to
where you're supposed to be. from here to there. We've not talked. Okay, so that's why he's going, what the heck you want here? All right. So, when we navigate, it helps us navigate, right?
Yes.
When we navigate, and our GPS, you know what it's programmed to? You put a little, where you want to go, right in there? Where do you want to go? In the end, God programs a little thing in the end that says, heaven. So put heaven in there. Heaven. That's where I want to go.
I put your house. Does that count?
I'm going to just stay on task here. I'm going to stay on task. I have something, but that would be walking in the flesh, and I don't want to go there. Trying to have an example here of walking in the Spirit. Okay. But it programs, it puts in there, your spirit is programmed to go to heaven. He put a GPS inside of you that goes to heaven. And then he says, here's how you get there. Walk straight down that road. Actually, run. And then it says, turn right, you get to heaven. Turn right, okay, go down there. Excuse him. Down right. Okay, turn left. Okay, turn right. Okay, keep going. Okay, keep going. Okay, turn right. Come this way. Okay, now what I'm saying is, when you get the GPS, it always tells you to turn right, turn left, do this, keep on, and it keeps you on the right path. And if you notice when they put a little path there, there's all of this open road, there's all sorts of stuff out there, but it puts you on one little line. Because God wants you on the straight and narrow. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. Wide is the gate. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. We could go out there and go anywhere we wanted to. And you know what? It will lead you into destruction. You get off road and you start messing up your rig and bad things happen. Case in point, my son went off road. My car is totaled. But he's such a nice kid, so it was an accident. But don't we have accidents all the time in our walks? You know the nice thing about a GPS, though, is if you get off task, it recalculates and tells you how to get back on task, right? How to get there. That's exactly what God wants to do in the Spirit. He wants to guide you. He put His Spirit inside of you so your spirit knows how to get to heaven, how to walk, when to turn, where to go. And we need to be listening, to the Holy Spirit. Not to our flesh. Here's what the flesh is like. Okay, Tommy, go and sit down for a second. And what I love about the GPS is when it recalculates, it doesn't condemn you. It just says, hey, get back on path over here. It says, turn right. It doesn't go, you idiot! Where the heck are you going? It just kind of goes, recalculate and put you back on path. Recalculate and put you back on path. Can I use you guys for an illustration here? Go and stand up for a second. All right, Dylan, introduce your dad to everyone here.
My dad, Phil.
What a name.
What a coincidence.
By the way, I really felt the Lord put a word in my heart for you, that He has His hand upon you in a very powerful way. And He's going to do some amazing things in the days to come that will absolutely astonish you because He sees your heart. He knows it hasn't been a perfect walk, but He's recalculating and He's putting things back in order in a special and wonderful way. And He wants you to know how much He loves you. You keep going after Him because He puts His hand on your back. He pulls you close and He says, I love you, son. He's got a great plan for you, Phil. All right, here's what I want to do. Come on over here. You come on over here. I want to talk about what it's like to be led in the flesh. Come on over this way. Oh, you can, Phil, you can, we'll go back to your seat over there, okay? Come on over here. Hurry, run. Run. Oh, good. All right, here. I need you to close your eyes. Okay. Don't look. Don't cheat. All right, I'm going to blindfold you just in case you do. Wrap it around again. All right, there we go. You'll be a ninja here soon. All right. Can you see through there at all?
I see blackness.
Oh, you see blackness. You see outer darkness. I don't trust you, so I'm going to put it on again. All right. Put it on there. Okay. Can you breathe at all?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not tight enough then. All right. Make it tighter there. I want you where all of a sudden you're gasping. Okay, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come on over here. All right.
God bless you.
I'm going to spin you around a little bit. Of course you can. I'm your pastor. Okay, now, I want you to now stop right here. All right, call for your son. He's lost. Say, son, I love you. Go and see your daddy. Hurry, hurry. Keep calling. Hurry. Go, go, go. Figure it out. How are you going to get there? Hurry, 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 fast. Okay. All right, all right, all right. Keep calling, keep calling. Listen for his voice. Listen for his voice. Listen. 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 Hurry. Come on. Come on. Hurry. 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 Hurry.
I don't know. Where am I?
All right. Here, let me help you. I'll give you a little bit of help.
Okay,
it's kind of this way. Run. 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 All right. Now go. Is he somewhere out there? Go, 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 go. Go get him. All right. Come on over here. Dylan's not having a hard time here. All right. Dylan, go ahead and take those off there. How hard is it to walk that way?
It's really hard.
It's really hard, okay? What I want to say is this. Did you notice what happened? You notice what happens when all of a sudden you have to walk not by the Spirit, but he's walking by the flesh now. And he's not, doesn't have this GPS inside of him. What he has is he's walking in the flesh. What did he first do? He ran into stuff. And then what did he do? He tried to feel his way on how he was going to get there. He starts feeling his way. The amazing thing about being led by the flesh is it always responds to feelings. You will always feel your way when you're in the flesh. And your flesh always responds to feelings. I feel hungry. I eat. I feel sad. I cry. I feel angry. I hit. Do you hear what I'm saying? When we walk in the flesh, we walk by our feelings, and our feelings aren't necessarily good or right. They may be accurate, but they may not be good, and they may not be right. What God is saying is, you are spirit, you are soul, and you are body. These two are in process. They're very inferior. They can't figure things out. They only run by feeling, and therefore they run themselves into error. The spirit walks by the spirit, communicates to his spirit, and therefore in all situations you can see, how do I go? Where do I turn? Where do I meet? Now, I'm not trying to say that it's also perfect for you. We don't necessarily hear correctly all the time. But when we do get a mess, the GPS says, hey, take a left here. Get back on track. But if you're walking by the flesh, there's nothing that tells you you're out of bounds. And what usually happens is we get so far out of bounds until our life begins to be destructive, till we finally figure out that was a wrong choice. That was a wrong direction. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Look at the Galatians here now. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. By the way, the word lust there is, lust of the flesh is longing. The Greek word here means longing for that which is forbidden. For some reason, our flesh, our soul and body usually longs for something that's forbidden. I want that. I shouldn't have that, but I want it. I want it. I lust for it. I long for it, even though it's forbidden. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. Another word, a different definition for the word lust here. And the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary. They're opposite. They're against one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. You see, God says that the things of your spirit are contrary to the things of your flesh right now. There'll be a day called heaven where it won't be contrary. Where the flesh will be done. It will be sanctified. Your body will be glorified. The whole process and complete work of salvation will have taken place. But it's not now. Your flesh is being worked on. It's not a done deal. But if you live by it, it will live you. It will lead you by feeling. And you'll end up in the wrong spot. in the wrong spot. It's opposites. Our flesh is aroused by lust, and it's directed by the devil. And it has this for its mantra: I must have it. There's lust, or the lust of the flesh. Aroused by lust, directed by the devil, I must have it. Our spirit is aroused by love, not lust. It's directed by God, and it usually responds this way: I must give it. Usually when God has you walk in the Spirit, He's usually having you doing something constructive, not destructive. He's usually having you give away something, not take something. Not always. I'm not trying to say that as an everything, because we need to also receive. But the mantra of the flesh is, I must have it. The mantra of the Spirit is, I must give it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. When I give away, all of a sudden I feel edified and built up. Because I'm walking by the Spirit. By the Spirit. The flesh has a huge appetite. But so does the Spirit. It longs for that which is good. And my question is this: what do you feed more, your flesh or your spirit? In your life, what do you feed more, your flesh or your spirit? Because whatever you feed the most will grow the most. Whatever you neglect will shrivel. Whatever you neglect will shrivel. And let me tell you this, it's easy to starve the spirit and feed the flesh. It's our natural default. We're programmed to default to flesh. But it takes something to walk by the Spirit. Do you ever starve the flesh and feed the Spirit? That's what fasting is all about. Starve your flesh. I want. No, the Spirit says you don't get. You're not going to eat right now. We're going to let this being know that we're not run by your flesh, but we're run by the Spirit. That's why fasting is so awesome. It reminds us that we're Spirit-led, that we're Spirit beings. Continuing on. It begins to talk about, now the works of the flesh are evident. I'm going to switch to the New Living Translation. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature or the flesh, your lives will produce these evil results. Keys, what he's saying. Let me give you keys for knowing if your life is being led by the flesh. I'm going to tell you, if your life is being led by the flesh, these will be the attributes, the manifestations, the qualities of where you'll be. Sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure. See if any of these relate to you. Idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility. Of course, none of us are hostile. Quarreling, none of us quarrel. Jealousy, outbursts of anger. Of course not. Selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your little group. Even if your little group is so small, it's just you and your little group. My little group says, oh, who's all in your group? Well, me, myself, and I. All three of us don't like this. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Now we're talking about the fraternities, sororities, and other kinds of sin. And then look what he says here. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's him in a double ouch. He's saying that if we walk by the flesh, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If we walk as fleshly people, we'll not inherit what we long for. Heaven eternal, a life with God now. Then he goes on to give a contrast to that. But when the Holy Spirit, or your Spirit-led, controls your life, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. And these are keys for knowing that you're being led by the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. Here's how we know. It says it right here. These are the attributes: love, joy, peace. The Bible talks about blessed are the peacemakers. Are you the person that takes logs off the fire, off an argument? Or are you the person that puts logs on the argument?
One is walking in the flesh. One is walking in the spirit. Oh, I need to put this out. Oh my gosh, we have a disagreement. Hey, we need to rectify this. I'm not trying to say we all both lay over and die. We have differing opinions. We should work this out. But we need to take logs off the fire, not going, hey, well, what about you? What about you? And all of a sudden, we got a bonfire and we're roasting marshmallows. And you're not really roasting marshmallows. You're roasting each other. And we're walking in the flesh rather than the spirit. Patience. Sure, honey, go into the next store and shop. I just want to sit here. I love you. You know, sometimes I think God is just trying to have us work patience by just sitting there. Be patient. Let her enjoy something. You know, I realize all the things in my life that my wife allows me to enjoy. My gosh, I've never heard her when I went, honey, can I go? She's never gone, no, you may not. Well, there was once back in, no, I don't. But so, sure, honey, if that, hey, go. And we have this, hey, honey, if that will bless you, you go. Go do that. I'm not trying to say we're perfect by any means. Did you say we're not or you're not, like you were talking to me? We're not. Okay, great. Because I don't want to get in a big discussion right here in front of everybody here. I'm trying to take logs off of this deal here. Okay, great. We're both taking logs off, right? There's no fire. It went out. The greatest thing in any argument you can hear is not. And for some reason, we like to see, especially guys, we like fire. Put more on there. This is cool. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, faithful to God, faithful to your marriage, faithful to your family, faithful to your job, gentleness, easy. I love Roman. Roman is, he's 2 years old and he is like more boy than, there's like five boys in there. He comes with the dog. We have a little dog. By the way, we bought a Malibu car and we named the dog, who was in the crash, who got the airbag jammed into his face when it deployed. We called him Malibu, and he's black. So we do have a black Malibu. I was just walking in the spirit right there, and the Lord put a little nugget in there. And he said, you have what you want. Hallelujah. I'm going to do this more often, walk in the spirit. It's awesome. Roman, though, be gentle. His idea of gentle is he grabs the dogs by both chops. He's just a little thing. Both chops, tries to pull them. Is there a teeth in there? The other day, we have this little cage for him. It's only about this tall, you know, so they don't wet. Because they won't wet where they are. They only want to wet in your house. But anyway, so he's in the... So there's a dog in there. I walk, come around the corner, and he's in the cage with the dog, and it's shut, and he's in there going. He's just. Gentleness. Self-control instead of anger. Can you control yourself? All right? Here's my question. What controls your life, the flesh or the spirit? Let me say it this way. What attributes are you manifesting on a day-to-day basis? Those of the spirit or those of the flesh? Let me say it this way. Ask the person next to you, especially if they're your spouse, which one am I? Now, don't do it right now because we're not doing communion yet. I'm saying, ask somebody else, well, how do you see me? It's amazing. We always see ourselves, I am a spiritual man. But others may see you as not a spiritual person. They may see the attributes of your flesh. And you know what? If you want to be a spiritual man, you'll want someone to come and talk to you about where you're acting fleshly so you can allow those to die in your life. Let me continue. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do you kill your flesh? I'm not trying to go, hey, watch this. Yeah. Ooh. Ow.
ow, that hurt. It does hurt. Can you, in the midst of an argument, kill your flesh and go, no, I'm not going there? And it hurts because I want to see the fly, I want to see the fire and the flames. But I'm backing up. I'm taking logs off. I'm dying to what I feel like doing, because feelings were run by the flesh. I'm dying to that, and I'm going to respond to the Spirit. I'm going to kill the flesh. Do you kill your flesh? Do you say no to it? You tell it, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to act like that anymore. And then in the midst of this discussion, all of a sudden, I'm going to change my tune because the Holy Spirit's here, and He's saying, don't act like that. Be kind instead of angry. Be gentle instead of hostile. Walk in the Spirit. That's His call for our life. Jesus had to say, not my will, but yours be done. He crucified His flesh before it was crucified on that cross. He crucified it in the garden when He said, not my will be done. Will we crucify ours in the same way? Not my will. My will, my feeling is to respond this way. But instead, I'm going to not do that. There's something awesome that happens when you say no to the flesh and your Spirit takes charge. Oh, you see a person emerge. Wow, you're spiritual. You're Christ-like. You're becoming more like, I'm seeing how you responded here. Well, you normally would say that and you did that. Wow, you're changing. But there's something awful that happens when you say no to the Spirit and yes to your flesh. Which way do we walk? Which way do we walk? The second passage of Scripture, and I know I'm skipping over some, read these two because they're absolutely amazing. It's in Romans 8, 1 through 14, but I'm going to pick it up in verse 4. It says, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Therefore, my observation here is that walking in the Spirit is a choice. You have to choose it. I have to choose Spirit. You automatically default to flesh for some reason. I don't know why you go, today I'm going to walk in the flesh. It seems like it just kind of bounces back there. It goes back to that setting. You've got to choose and say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to change what I'm going to say. I'm going to walk differently. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Which way are you choosing? Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds, that's what it's implying, on the things of the Spirit. My observation is you must set your mind to walk in the Spirit. This is an important point. Remember, part of our mind is in the soulish realm. We've got to set it differently. My mind, my will, my intellect. It just automatically moves fleshly. So I've got to set my mind differently than what it's automatically programmed to do. I've got to set it differently. I've got to walk differently. I've got to set my mind. Set my mind. You know, if you want to get up in the morning at a certain time and it's earlier more than what you normally do, you set an alarm clock, right? You set the clock. You put it down. You get the time, and then you're sleeping there having a great rest. All of a sudden, it wakes you up. But if you don't set the alarm clock and expect to get up then, can you get mad at the alarm clock because it didn't go off when you didn't set it? We do. Why did it go off? You didn't set it. It's not set. I know I set it. It's not set. We have to set it. We have to set it. And when you set it, an alarm goes off. You know, most of us have the cars where you can, you know, you push the button and it locks, right? The key fob, right? A fob? I called it a flob once and was ridiculed. But I'm learning to return kindness for, no, never mind. And we click it. If we have something valuable in our car or worried about our stereo or stuff in there, we go click, click, and all of a sudden, if anybody messes with it, bah, 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 it goes off, right? I'm saying that God wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to set our mind so that if something contrary to the Spirit comes, you hear this, bah, 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 because I have set my mind on something different. Let me tell you that the enemy loves to talk to your mind. Case in point. I was, as you know, last week, water baptism, my voice was, I couldn't speak very well. And my voice was going hoarse, and so I was taking NyQuil at night, and I got to one night, and there was no NyQuil left. There's only like this much NyQuil. You don't get a good night's sleep when you only got that much NyQuil. So the next day, I remember to get NyQuil, and then I went through the day and I forgot all about it, and I'm going to bed. It's about 12:30 at night, and I realized, oh no, NyQuil. Oh my gosh, I gotta go get NyQuil. So at 12 o'clock at night, I go over to Walmart. And so I'm going to Walmart. I get in there, and by the way, also a good friend of mine also told me that I needed to get and eat a vitamin C every hour while you're sick. Just try it. That it might help you. And I thought, well, I'm going to go do that too. So I'm going to go over and buy a couple of medications for me. And I go over there, and I'm getting in the store. I'm going to buy NyQuil. I'm buying cough drops, and I'm buying vitamin C. Whenever it gets to three, I have a hard time there. That's all I'm doing. It's 12:30 at night. I walk in the store, and I walk right in there, and the medication is straight ahead. But for some reason, something said, hey, turn right. And I turned right, and I always turn right. So I just kind of went in there, going by habit, going down the row there, and all of a sudden, there's the bakery section over here. And I just, I'm walking, I got to get my stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm walking around the little deal there, looking at donuts, looking at that. That's good. And now, what all am I looking for? I'm also looking for value. Is there anything valuable? There's a good deal here. And I walk around the doggone thing there, and I stop, and I look at these maple bars. And these maple bars started to talk to me. These maple bars started talking, and they said, hey, look in here. Have you noticed that you never get a maple bar, you never get one of those boxes with nothing on it, just a box? They have the little see-through thing, so you can see what those little guys are doing in there. They're going, hey, look at me. I'm all frosted. And I'm going, wow, you guys look good. He goes, yeah, we've been here for a while, dude. No one's taking us home. Aren't you hungry? And I go, I really am kind of hungry. It's 12:30, I'm kind of hungry. But I'm kind of sick. I probably shouldn't have that. I'm trying to lose weight. Hey. We need to have a life, too. All right. I hear you. Grabbed those little guys. They were talking to me. And then I put them under my, and I go get the NyQuil, and I get that stuff, and I get all those three things. I come back. There's nobody at the store, and there's only one checkout, completely way away from where I'm at. I go down there. They only got one light. Go through the thing, and the lady looks at me and goes, it looks like you're sick, but you want to be well, right? And I bought them. I took them home, even with the ridicule from the clerk. I come home. I get home. And before I take all my medication, them little critters started talking again. And they said, hey, one of us wants to come out. And then my refrigerator started talking to me. I opened up the door, and the milk, he started jabbering at me. He said, hey. And I'm going, no. I'm sick. That's not good for your when you're. It's not good to have that milk, right? A dairy product when you're got mucus stuff everywhere. And I'm going, no. I'm not supposed to have you. He goes, hey. And he started talking to me. He talked me into it, man. And I poured a big glass of him. And then I grabbed his buddy, that little maple bar, and I ate him and I drank his buddy and. And then. His other buddy started saying something. And I kid you not, I thought long and hard about his friend. He said, we're twins and we go together wherever we go. And I said, no, I can't. And I went to bed. And I took all my medications, went to bed, woke up in the morning. I said, my God, why did I eat that? I'm telling you how your flesh works. It jabbers at you. It talks in your mind. You must set your mind to walk in the Spirit. We must set our mind to walk in the Spirit. We have to set our mind. I'm not listening to that. I don't care about your twin brother. Right. Folks, it happens. And any think of a sin you want to commit. A lustful desire, a pleasure, it starts yakking at you. The flesh starts yakking. Have you set your mind to listen to the Spirit? To the Spirit. In Romans 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh cannot please God ever, never, period. It can't please God. Don't try to make the flesh think it can, because it always tells you that it can. It tries to gift wrap it, talk it through, make it up, make it less than what it all is, tell you why you need it, all that stuff. It can't please. It'll only please you. It'll really only please you for a moment. The flesh cannot please God, period. And I have a thought here. The flesh is a devil's playground. The Spirit is God's playground. When it's recess, what playground do you go out to? When it's recess, what playground do you go out and play in? God's and the Spirit, or the devil's and the flesh? Let me bring this to a conclusion. Galatians 6:8, it says, for he who sows in his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, decay. But he who sows in the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life, corruption. Corruption. The flesh will lead to corruption. Have you ever had your freezer go bad with all the flesh and meat in it? Have you ever smelt that? The flesh will lead us to corruption. And finally, how do we then walk in the Spirit? I can say it very quickly. Number one, set your mind. Number two, make the time. Number three, walk the line. Number one, you want to walk in the Spirit? Here is day-to-day plan for you. Set your mind on spiritual things. God, I want to be spiritual. I want to hear your Spirit this morning. I want to hear it out the day. Lord, I want to reject all the stuff of the flesh. I want to hear your Spirit. I'm going to set my mind this morning as I get up, as I go, in a quick moment in the car. It takes me 10 seconds. Lord, I set my mind on spiritual things. I want to see everything through a spiritual lens this morning, this afternoon, this evening, this night. Lord, if I get in that meeting, let me see it through a spiritual lens. Lord, when I get in that argument, let me see it through a spiritual lens. Lord, when I face that temptation, let me see it through a spiritual lens. I need to set my mind. Number two, make the time. Make the time to be with God. Make the time to spend just a few moments in His Word. That's all you need then. I'm really busy. Then give me 5 minutes. Let the Lord speak to you. Or in your car while you're driving. Thirdly, walk the line. Walk the line. Narrow is the road that leads to life. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, the Bible says. Walk the line. No, I'm choosing this. I'm going to go this way. No, no, no. The GPS inside of me says, this is the road. This is the road. This is the way. Walk ye in it. This is it. This is it. I'm going to walk the line. I'm going to walk the line. I'm going to walk the line. When I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me, I'm going to do what He is asking. I'm going to walk His line, His line, His line. I'm going to set my mind. I'm going to take the time. I'm going to walk the line. Spiritual man of God. Pray with me, Father. Thank you for this time. I pray that you would help us, Lord, make right decisions. Help us to realize that you want us to walk day by day in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lusts of our flesh. You want our spirit to triumph. You want us to walk when people look at us and go, wow, what a great man, a great woman. Look at their attributes. Look at their lifestyle. Look who they are. Maybe not perfect, but Lord, day by day, becoming more and more like you, because we're making decisions that you would make, because we're walking the Spirit, not the flesh, that we're setting our mind, that we're taking time, that we're walking that line, Lord, to be all that you want us to be, not listening to the stuff in this grocery store of life that wants to jump in our basket, but Lord God, we listen to your voice. Help us now, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you need more of Jesus, he's up here. If you need him in your life, come up here. We're going to dismiss here with a song. If you need prayer for anything, come on up here. If you need to come up to the altars and pray and ask God to do something in your life, do that. But as we conclude, would you please stand? I'd like us to end with this song. And as we end with this song, when we're done, please feel dismissed. Be dismissed. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about how do we specifically hear the voice of God? How do we hear his voice? I've never heard an audible voice. How do you know God? How do you know what he's saying? Turn left, turn right, all of that stuff. First of December, we're going to get into that. I'm going to talk about hear his voice and walk in his steps. So let's end with this song. Love you guys. Dads, we love you. God bless you.